Many of you will often send me jokes. And I was in a bit of a state this morning, so I don't have a joke. So I'm going to count on one of you to have a joke. John? Yes. I know you've got to have one.
A story, perhaps not necessarily a Sunday story, but a story nevertheless. This elderly man and his elderly wife, the elderly man suspected that his wife was hard of hearing. So he decided he was going to test it out one day while they were grocery shopping. So he stood two paces back from her, and as we're walking along, he said, "Don't forget the apples." No response. Pardon me. He started 10 paces back and said, "Don't forget the apples, honey." No response. So he moved in a little closer, 7 paces back. "Don't forget the apples, honey." No response. By now, he's convinced she has a hearing problem. Third time, 4 spaces back. "Don't forget the apples, honey." No response. Finally, he moves right up behind her. "Don't forget the apples, honey. Did you hear me?" "Yes, and I heard you the other 3 times as well."
So today is a Sabbath day. And I thought it was appropriate, this was planned, the scripture and the whole theme was planned way back last August for today. So I think it's amazing how God is always way ahead of us, that Jenny felt the need for a Sabbath at this time. I know I feel the need for a Sabbath at this time, and I'm guessing that many of you feel the need for Sabbath at this time. I know the council has been working tirelessly all year. When we were at an executive meeting and Lois started naming all the things that we had been going through this year, every single thing, it was exhausting just listening. It must have taken her 10 minutes just to list off everything. So I know the council and its teams are very tired. And I know that you are all such hard workers that you also are tired. And I know that many of you are going through difficult times in your lives, worried about children, or worried about partners, or worried about grandchildren, or worried about friends, or worried about yourself and your move, or what's going to happen to you next. And so we're in this frantic state of worry and busyness, and we wonder if we're going to have a home to live in and where our baby's going to be born. And all this frantic worry and busyness. And in the midst of it all, Jesus says, "Come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I think the reason Jesus was saying that is because he knew that he lived in a world where there was incredible manual labor. If you didn't work with your hands, you're not going to eat. It was all manual labor, pretty much. It was all through commerce and trading. And if you weren't busy, you starved. There was no social services. There was no disability checks. There was no nothing. You either had to work or you didn't eat. He also knew that that was not the only thing that stressed people out, but it was the religious laws, that if they didn't focus on the religious laws, they'd be kicked out of the community. And there were 613 religious requirements. That's a burden. A heavy, heavy burden. God's not going to love you. You're not going to be welcomed in the house of God unless you follow all these rules. 613 of them. And so then here's another one. The disciples are walking along the road and they're hungry. And so they see in one scripture, in one translation it says corn, and another it's grain, wheat. Anyway, we know they pick some heads of grain and they're eating them, munching them, because they're hungry. And they're giving them to their companions who are also hungry. And the Pharisees, who are strict adherents to the law and are always going like this, shaking their fist at everyone, and their finger, do this, do that, say, it's not lawful. That's work. You are harvesting. You are exercising, exerting energy to take in that bread. So Jesus stops and he looks at them like they have rocks in their head. And he says to them, don't you remember the story of David in the temple when he's fleeing for his life from King Saul, who's gone completely mad and thinks that David is after his job? And he says to him, and so David is fleeing for his life, and he finds refuge in the temple. And he goes into the Holy of Holies because he's hungry, because he knows that in the Holy of Holies, there are 12 loaves of bread there, called the Bread of Presence, with a capital P, the Bread of God, the Bread of Presence. 12 loaves of bread, where have we heard that before? 12 loaves of bread representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the community. The community represented on the table, the communion table, the community table. And the only people that are allowed to eat from the Bread of Presence are the priests. And the only time they're allowed to break the Sabbath, the priests, are on the Sabbath day when they're technically working. I'm working. So I'm breaking the Sabbath, but that's allowable in the laws. So Jesus says, remember how David and his companions who are trying to save him from the crazy King Saul come into the temple and they ask, what can we eat? And they said, well, the priests say, you can eat from the Bread of Presence. And so he eats the holy bread. He said, the Sabbath, man, the Sabbath is a gift. The Son of Man, humans, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. We can decide what is needful. What do we need on the Sabbath? If I'm hungry, then I meet the need. If I need rest, I rest. If I just need to be, I be. If I need to feed my family, I feed my family. Basically, he was telling them, these laws are binding you. They're a burden. They're carrying heavy burdens, all these rules and regulations. Do what is needful. The Sabbath was not a commandment to make things hard. I remember my grandmother saying to me, we weren't allowed to do anything on the Sabbath day. Nothing. We sat there. The only thing we were allowed to do was read our Bible. Like they did in the olden days. Well, in the olden days of Jesus, nobody knew how to read. So they weren't reading their Bible. Sabbath was a time for us to rest. Rest from the weariness of commerce. Rest from the busyness of our lives. Rest from meetings. Rest from painting the church. Rest from running around. And it was also meant for recreation, to recreate ourselves. As we sleep, Our cells are recreated. Recreation, play, creation. The Sabbath was made for us to rest. I've coined a new word as I was reflecting on this morning. I've decided what we all are. I know I am, and I think most of you are here too. We're churchaholics. Have you noticed that? I think we're suffering. I think we all work way too hard, and we all think too much about this or that or whatever. I think it's important that we learn to just rest in each other. One year, I was in another church, and they were all tired, exhausted, just like all of you, just like me. They said, "What would it be like if next year we just had a Sabbath year as a church? And we only did the minimum of what was required. The minimum. And everybody's like, "Oh, we can't do that." I said, "Well, we're going to have to do some things that are needful." So they did. They pretty much, they didn't start it, they just kind of Sabbath rested. And guess what? More life came out of that year. More fruitfulness than any other year I remember ever being in those 16 years. Because it's interesting, because when we looked as a Bible study, when we looked back at all the references in the Hebrew scriptures to Sabbath, it was interesting that it wasn't just people that were given rest, but animals were to rest. Slaves were to rest, and even the land was to rest. And the rule was, but if the land produced on its own, you could eat that. You just couldn't exploit it. On the seventh year, you needed to let it lay fallow. And in its resting, it still produced. When we are most deeply resting in God, 60-fold, 90-fold, 100-fold is grown. Sometimes when we do nothing, that's when the Spirit of God can move most powerfully and fruit blossoms. I did something that I've absolutely never done in 31 years of ministry. I didn't write a sermon. I wrote some notes. And they were still all jumbled by the time I got up here. But I just guess I wanted to say, please go and rest this summer. Rest in whatever way renews you. Rest in music, if that's what rejuvenates you. Rest in the garden, if that's what gives you life and rejuvenates your spirit. Rest in silence, if that's what your mind needs to become still. Rest in the laughter and the play of a grandchild or a child, if that's what renews you. Rest in the company of a good friend who gets you like nobody else does, if that's what renews you. God gave us a commandment to rest, because God knows without rest, without doing nothing, something can happen. For as Jesus said to them, it's in that line. I knew I was going to not remember it. I tell you something, greater than the temple is here. I tell you, something greater than the church is here. And I believe the something is the presence of God moving within us and among us and around us. And that's what is needful, to rest in that beautiful something. May it be so.